Heavenly Father, be in my speaking and in our listening, that together we may bring glory to your name. Amen. So finally, in our sermon series called The Year of the Bible, we come to the New Testament, writings with which many of us are more familiar. I think you'll agree, though, that it's been very enlightening to have heard so much about the Old Testament writings. I, for one, have learnt a lot. When I glanced at the new preaching rota and found that I was down to preach a 15-minute sermon on the first three Gospels, I must admit to feeling somewhat daunted. However, it's been fascinating to do some research, and I hope I've put together enough detail to get people rereading these Gospels with renewed interest. Of course, a new era began with the arrival of Jesus. God entered history personally, making it clear that he's on our side, doing everything possible to save us. It was all presented and worked out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It was and is hard to believe, seemingly too good to be true. Being rational people, we want to know that what we read is true, don't we? In the first verses of our Gospel reading, it's reassuring to note that the author of Luke thought the same way. He tells us that many lives of Jesus were written on the basis of eyewitness reports. He doesn't find these narratives satisfactory in all respects, and so he set himself the task of examining the records and writing a new account that will establish the truth. And we are not asked just to close our eyes and believe. The Bible encourages us to thoroughly investigate its claims and check everything out for ourselves. This is crucial because our conclusions about Jesus are a life and death matter. What we believe about him matters, as Alan said last week. Luke was a companion of Paul. He was the only Gentile writer, a medical doctor, a clear thinker, and a thoughtful researcher. He did a thorough investigation of the stories about Jesus and concluded that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. But in writing his gospel, he didn't simply piece together bits of information that he gathered from different sources. Rather, his own contributions include selecting and organizing these materials along with whatever interpretation was necessary to make a complete and unified narrative. So the question is, what materials were available to Luke when he began to write his gospel? The earliest Christians didn't have any written records of the life and teachings of Jesus. Those who looked on him as the Messiah believed he would very soon bring in a new kingdom. So all that was necessary to know about him could be remembered and passed on orally until that time. So when he was put to death on the cross, they were bitterly disappointed. They thought his cause was lost. But after the resurrection, what he'd done in his life took on a new meaning, and an authentic record of his life on earth would be a great help to those who were expecting his return. Also, evidence was needed that would convince unbelievers that he was the Messiah. It's thought that a document recording Jesus' sayings must have been written by people who were contemporaries of Jesus and his disciples. That the Gospels weren't written until about 40 years after Jesus' death often raises questions about their reliability. The situation is also complicated by the fact that the Gospels aren't all alike, nor is it possible to harmonize completely all of the materials contained in them. They do agree on many points, but disagree on others. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they have so many stories in common that they can be placed side by side in columns and seen together, the literal meaning of the word synoptic. This poses a problem. What sources did these writers use? If the authors of the Gospels used the same sources, the similarities between the Gospels would be explained. So what were these sources? The Gospel of Mark is generally agreed to be the oldest of the three synoptic Gospels and was used as one of the sources for each of the other two. The outline of events as they occur in Mark is followed by each of the other writers, and about two-thirds of the materials found in Mark is also present in both Matthew and Luke. But there's also reason to believe that both Matthew and Luke had another source in common, as both report a considerable amount of Jesus' teachings in addition to what's in Mark. To account for this extra material, it's assumed that a document composed of Jesus' sayings was in existence and was another source for Matthew and Luke. Scholars refer to this other source with the letter Q, the first letter of the German word Quelle, meaning source. Also, because there's some unique material in Matthew, he may have used yet another source, which scholars call M, which wasn't used in any of the other Gospels, and the same goes for Luke, a source which scholars call L. Anyway, so we're back to the first four verses of Luke's Gospel, which states that several lives of Jesus have been written, and that his purpose is to write a definitive biography about Jesus. So hopefully we're now ready to believe that what we read is true. But it's only by reading each Gospel carefully that the full picture will emerge. I discovered that in fact no one really knows who wrote the Gospels. The authors didn't identify themselves, as did Paul, for instance. Much research has come to certain conclusions, however, so I'll tell you what I found out. Let's start with Mark as the earliest gospel to be written, probably in the early 60s AD. It's thought that the writer was a Christian named John Mark, a relatively obscure person as far as New Testament records indicate, believed to be a relative of Barnabas, who was one of the leaders of the church in Antioch. Mark accompanied Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys and was a companion of Peter in Rome, from whom he would have heard first-hand accounts of Jesus' life and deeds. Mark is a relatively short gospel, and it's the most action-packed of the four gospels. An event has taken place that radically changes the way we look at and experience the world, and he can't wait to tell us about it. It reports more about what Jesus did than what he said, which means that you move smoothly from one incident to another, connected by the word immediately, which occurs at least 40 times. Mark is keen to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, paints a rapid succession of vivid pictures showing Jesus moving, serving, sacrificing, and saving. Mark's gospel emphasizes Jesus' power as well as his servanthood. Jesus' life and teaching turn the world upside down. The world's view of power is to control others in order to get your own way. But Jesus, with all authority and power in heaven and earth, chose to serve others. He held children in his arms, healed the sick, washed the disciples' feet, and died for the sins of the world. Following Jesus means receiving the same power to serve. We are called as believers to be servants of Christ. As he served, so we are to serve. So then what about the Gospel according to Matthew, probably written between 80 and 85 AD? The first question is, who wrote it? According to a very old tradition, the author was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, but most New Testament scholars now agree that this wasn't the case. However, Matthew the Apostle may have had something to do with one or more of the sources that were used. Anyway, the Gospel of Mark seems to have been impressed most of all with the truth of the wonderful deeds that Jesus performed, Matthew places the major emphasis on the marvelous things that Jesus taught. This gospel is generally regarded as the most important, hence its placement at the beginning of the New Testament writings. In addition to the materials found in Mark, it contains a large number of Jesus' sayings and discourses, and also a group of stories not found in any of the other gospels. As it contains an extensive account of Jesus' teachings, it's considered the most authentic and fundamental doctrine of the Christian religion. As such, it repays careful reading and prayerful reflection, especially, of course, of the Sermon on the Mount. There are several characteristics which distinguish it from other New Testament writings, one of which is its high regard for the teachings of the Old Testament. At least 15 times, Matthew interprets some event in the life of Jesus as a fulfillment of a prophecy in the Old Testament. He certainly didn't think of Christianity as something that involved a definite break with the Jewish religion. He never considered that Jesus changed or set aside the requirements of the Mosaic law. He quotes Jesus as saying, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." All that ancient Israel had looked for with hope and high expectation is now to be fulfilled in the Christian church. They were given the law of Moses, and now the new Israel has received another and even higher law in the teachings of Jesus. The Old Testament prophecies and genealogies in the book of Matthew present Jesus' credentials for being King of the world, not a military or political leader as the disciples had originally hoped, but a spiritual king who can overcome all evil and reign in the heart of every person. We must make Jesus king of our lives and worship him as our Saviour, King, and Lord. Finally, to the gospel attributed to Luke the physician, which is considered to be the most comprehensive gospel, beautifully written by an obviously educated man. He was probably writing between 85 and 90 AD. Luke wrote to the Greek-speaking world. He wanted them to know that Christ's message of love and forgiveness should go to the entire world. In the reading we had today, we see Luke affirming the truth of the resurrection, showing that the entire Old Testament scripture points to the Messiah, confirming that all who turn to Jesus will receive forgiveness and the chance to begin a new life, and assuring us all of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This same Jesus who lived with the disciples, who died and rose from the dead, and who loves us, promises to be with us always. Luke's gospel portrays Jesus as the perfect example of a life lived according to God's plan. As believers living according to God's plan, we too should obey our Lord in every detail as we seek to restore people in body, mind, and spirit to the health and salvation that God has in store for them. If we want to know how to live a perfect life, we can look to Jesus as our example. No one should feel excluded for any reason at all. Luke was a vigorous champion of the outsider, showing how Jesus includes those who were treated as outsiders by the religious establishment of the day. Women, common labourers, the racially different, the poor. For Luke, membership in the kingdom of God is dependent on the quality of a person's heart and life rather than on racial or religious backgrounds. Jesus' mission is for all humankind and not just for the Jews. So, in conclusion, what overall message can we get from these three Gospels? I would say, listen to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I believe that what we read about him is true. He is who he says he is. He offers us the best possible blueprint for successful living on this earth, free from sin and guilt and assured of his love. With him, nothing is impossible. He promises never to leave us, and His Holy Spirit empowers us for service and takes away all our fears for the future as we head for eternal life with Him. Amen.